Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WKMZ-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now your host, author, pastor, and teacher, Doug Joseph.
Welcome to the broadcast. We're about to bless you with part one of a message preached in the sanctuary of Christian Apostolic Church titled The Box, The Lid, and The Contents. And if you've ever seen the Ark of the Covenant in the Indiana Jones movies with that gold overlay and gold lid and gold angels on the lid, then you'll have a mental picture that can prepare you to be blessed as we bring you this preaching from the Word of the Lord. But first, we want to bless you with some great music from our friends Phillips, Craig, and Dean. This is the title track from their project called Let Your Glory Fall.
You are good, you are good, and your love endures. You are good, you are good, and your love endures. You are good, you are good, and your love endures today. Lord, let your glory fall.
Let your glory fall.
Come,
now be blessed as you enjoy part one of The Box, The Lid, and The Contents.
I'd like to ask you to stand with me in honor to the reading of the Word of the Lord. 2 Chronicles chapter 5 and verse 10. There was nothing in the ark save the two tables which Moses put therein at Horeb when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt. One more time, I want to read it again. There was nothing in the ark save the two tables which Moses put therein at Horeb when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt. My topic today is the box, the lid, and the contents. Let's go before the Lord in prayer, asking for His touch and His help in this house today. As we prepare to be seated, would you put your hands together and give a great shout of praise to the Lord for His glory in this house. I want to tell you that I am here in the will of God, and I am coming to you speaking with apostolic authority. If you will believe me, when we speak the word in a few moments, you will receive healing in your body. If you will believe what I'm telling you in a few moments, if you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost, when we speak the word of faith, God will pour out His Spirit upon you, just like in the Bible in the book of Acts chapter 2. We didn't come here on accident, and you're not here just by coincidence. The hand of the Lord is at work, and God will do great things in your life today when you take Him at His word. I want to set the stage for you. It's the courtroom of the ages. The judge of all creation is seated on the great white throne. And Satan, who is called in Scripture the accuser of the brethren, has taken his place as the prosecutor. And he is somehow intimately aware of all of your worst outward failings and private acts of sin. It's as though that a demon assigned to watch you has coached Satan on your entire history. And there as you stand before the judge, that wicked prosecutor tirelessly brings forth a litany of your worst sins, your most heinous failures, your most grievous shortcomings, and your most damaging transgressions. The judge of all the earth leans forward and says to you with profound gravity, "You've heard the charges. How do you plead?" And at this moment, you know you cannot plead innocent because you really did all those sins. You are guilty. Yet, if you plead guilty, then you will have condemned yourself to just judgment for your sins. And that is the moment to realize that you can avoid needless bifurcation. I know normally when a judge asks how you plead, it's either one way or the other. It's either innocent or guilty. But then you realize that the judge who's looking at you came and manifested himself on the earth in flesh as a man and went to the cross and died to give you a third option. And as he leans forward with a twinkle in his eye and waits for you to say the words, you say, "Neither I plead guilty nor I plead innocent." Instead, you say, "I plead the blood." Woo! Oh, let's give the Lord a hand praise. I want to take your mind back to the Ark of the Covenant back in ancient times, back in the days of the Mosaic Covenant. There was a tabernacle, and it had old, what you might call just kind of common looking skins on the outside. But on the inside, it was filled with glory and gold. And the power of God, the presence of God, was manifest there in that tabernacle. There was an altar whereupon sacrifices were slain and their blood was captured. And they were cooked upon that altar. There was a brazen laver, a laver of brass, where the priest would wash the brazen sea. And then he would go in that room that was just outside the Holy of Holies. As he would enter inside, there would be a golden lamp that had seven lamps on it, a golden lampstand, the menorah, and it provided light inside there. The illuminating of that lamp is symbolic to the illumination of the Holy Ghost in our life. There was a table of showbread where he would receive nourishment. There was an altar of incense. And then there was a great veil between him and the Holy of Holies, the holiest place. And as he would pass through that veil, the Bible says in Hebrews 10:20 that we have a way into the holy place through the veil. That is to say, his flesh, the man Christ Jesus, as his flesh was torn on the cross. That was the actual reality that that Old Testament veil was merely a shadow or a portrayal of. As that veil when the temple was rent, when Jesus' body died on the cross, that priest would pass through that veil into the holy place. And in there, there was a box called the Ark of the Covenant. On that box was a lid called the mercy seat. The box was overlaid in gold. The lid was overlaid in gold. Golden forms of angelic figures were on that lid, and there he would take the blood of a spotless sacrifice. Amen. And back in those days, that blood was not the blood of the Messiah. It was just the blood of bulls and goats and lambs. And so that blood was an imperfect picture of Jesus Christ shedding his blood upon the cross. And so that blood could not take away their sins forever. But on one day a year, when one man only of all the nation of Israel, only the high priest could enter in, and he would bring in that blood into the holiest of holies and present it there on the mercy seat where the glory of God rested between the angels. It would roll their sins ahead from that Yom Kippur, that day of atonement, one year into the future, into the next day of atonement. And if they sinned any along the way, as they would come toward the next day of atonement, they could bring various sacrifices and still know that that day of atonement was waiting. I want you to understand that that day of atonement practice, it was not a magic talisman. It was not a magic charm. It was not some kind of trick that twisted God's arm. They were intended to be in a relationship called a covenant with their God and with each other. And only on the basis of that relationship. How many of y'all understand the difference between a ticket and an admission list? Amen. If you have a ticket, that ticket works for anybody. A thug can beat you up and steal your ticket. He can stab or shoot you and steal your ticket. And he can go to the event and he can get in with that ticket. But when there's an admission list, there's a relationship between you and the event organizer. And no thug can steal a ticket from you. You show up in person and your name's on the list. The thug shows up in person. His name is not on the list. You need to understand God is not some impersonal force like Star Wars. He is intelligent. He is personal. And he knows you. He knows every sin you've ever done. He knows even how many hairs are on your head. He calls all the stars by name. He's not trying to give you lucky charms or magic talismans that will work some kind of trick. He wants you to enter into a relationship with him where you know him and he knows you. And you work in conjunction with him and with his people. Amen. I want you to understand that that tabernacle and that Ark of the Covenant, that box that was so sacred, that has great symbolism for us today. I want you to think about the lid where the glory of God rested, the mercy seat. And I want you to understand the blood on that mercy seat. Think about the name of it, mercy seat. Now, God didn't name it that way on accident. How many of y'all understand God's a good God? God wants to give you grace and mercy instead of wrath and punishment. But he leaves the choice up to you, which you choose. But he wants to pour out mercy God is benevolent. He's kind. He's good. He gave you water to drink. He gave you air to breathe. He gave you food. He gave you mercy and grace. And he is waiting for you to reach out to him. Amen. A wise comedian one time pointed out that there's no question when you go to a doctor's office whether you'll be doing any waiting. It's all in the name. The doctor named you a patient. And he named the room a waiting room. So you know you're going to patiently wait in the waiting room. You need to pay attention to the name God gave you here. He didn't say it was the wrath seat. He didn't say it was the judgment seat. He said it's the mercy seat. I want to tell you that God will sit on whichever of two seats you prefer him to sit on. When he sits down on his throne, that throne can either be a throne of judgment or it can be a mercy seat. And it all depends on whether or not you've entered into a relationship with him to avail yourself of his mercy. Amen. I want to preach to you today. Don't get on the harsh judgment side of God when he has telegraphed a country mile that he wants to offer you if you will receive it, mercy. Amen. If you'll enjoin him in a covenant relationship. What is a covenant relationship? It is a mutual agreement that is based on mutual good, mutual benefit, mutual service, mutual love, and mutual commitment. Amen. And so if you don't care to experience his mercy, if you refuse to enter into a covenant with him, he will allow you to experience the very best that you can create for yourself. But without him, you're basically creating your own hell. Let me ask you a question. If God says, okay, you want nothing to do with me, by the way, my cosmos has to do with me, so that means you don't get my cosmos. You want nothing to do with me, by the way, this planet I created, that has to do with me. So if you want nothing to do with me, I'll just take my planet and go home. Anybody here can create your own cosmos? Anybody here create your own air, create your own water, create your own planet to live on? I didn't think so. This idea that I don't want to have anything to do with God, that's actually a pretty stupid idea. And when you think about it, really, what is hell? Hell is going to be filled with people and angels who were determined they wanted to have nothing to do with God, and God will finally grant them their wish. I want to tell you that you had best accept his offer instead of trying to go it on your own. As for me and mine, there is no doubt in my mind, and there should not be any doubt in your mind. I want this God. I want his covenant. I want the box. I want the lid. I want everything that's in the box. Amen. You can think of the man Christ Jesus as the box, the ark of our covenant. Just as that ancient box was God's appointed icon of the Mosaic covenant. And in fact, it was the very dwelling place of God's glory among the Hebrew people. So also, the man Christ Jesus is God's appointed express image and manifestation. He is the icon of our covenant, and he is the very dwelling place of the presence and glory of God. Let me read for you from Colossians 2, beginning with verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy or vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Apart from Jesus, you will not have peace. You will not have joy. But in him you are complete, and your life will be filled with peace and joy. The tabernacle in the wilderness, which God directed Moses on how to have it constructed. That ark and that mercy seat were overlaid with gold. And the mercy seat had these angels on it facing inward. I want you to think now about Jesus's burial slab in a borrowed tomb. Compare it to the mercy seat. His bloodied body was laid on it, and in so doing, his blood was applied to that burial slab the same way the high priest applied the blood of a spotless lamb or a spotless sacrifice onto the mercy seat. And the scripture tells us that when they stepped in to see if his body was there, they saw angels. And the scripture says there were two of them. I don't think that's a coincidence. So you've got this rectangular lid on a box with angels and blood from a sacrifice on it. And there inside that borrowed tomb is a rectangular slab where they laid his dead body. And there were two angels, and there his blood was stained onto that slab. I want to tell you that mercy seat is that Old Testament mercy seat was merely a foreshadowing toward that burial slab. That's the real mercy seat. Amen. Here's the bottom line, folks. Your track record cannot earn you a place in heaven. I don't care how good you've tried to live. I don't care if you've never cheated, never lied, never stole. If you've done everything perfect, you're still going to find out that when you look real close at the Ten Commandments, you've sinned a whole lot more than you think you have. But even when you just lay aside all of your bad and you have a philosophy, well, won't my good outweigh my bad? The scripture says all our righteousness is as filthy rags in his sight. You cannot earn your way to heaven. There's only one way to get his salvation, and that is by his mercy. And his mercy is poured out for you on the mercy seat. I want to tell you that Jesus could serve as the prosecutor for your sins if he chose to, but he chooses not to. He chooses to be the judge, that's true, but he's a judge who's willing to be on your side. He chooses to be your spotless lamb that sheds his blood and dies to pay for your sin. He chooses to be your sinless high priest, Hebrews 3, who offers the spotless lamb and brings it the blood to the mercy seat. He chooses to be your table of showbread by which you partake of his goodness and spiritual nourishment. He chooses to be your golden candlestick, the source of God's light of illumination in your soul. He chooses to be your altar of incense by which you can offer praise to God. That is the fruit of your lips giving praise to his name. He chooses to be the door that crack through the veil by which you gain access to the Holy of Holies. And the Bible says no man comes unto the Father but by him. He chooses to be your box, your ark, as the repository and center of God's covenant with you. And that box contents, the tables of stone, that was the Ten Commandments, symbolic of all the law that Moses gave, and then a pot or bowl of manna, that miraculous provision that God gave them to eat, and then Aaron's rod that budded. It was a branch off of an almond tree. And even though it had already been cut off and was being used as a walking stick and it was dead, God caused a miracle and a process that normally takes months on a living tree. Whole mature almonds budded out overnight on a branch that was dead and had been cut off a long time. They call it Aaron's rod that budded. These were the three things that were in the box. Aaron's rod that budded is a symbol of our apostolic authority. There were people who rose up against Moses and rose up against Aaron. And God told Moses how to solve it. He said, all right, all of you that want to be in charge, all of you that want to be a leader, you bring your staff and lay it down, and we're going to bring Aaron's staff. And God's going to do a work. And that staff budded with those almonds. Everybody else's dead stick was still a dead stick. But Aaron's stick budded. Even though it was dead, it came to life and budded almonds, a process of months overnight. And it signified God saying, I'm backing this man up. He needs to be the authority. Aaron's rod that budded was symbolic of authority. The bowl of manna was symbolic of God's miraculous provision for your needs. But the tables of stone, they were symbolic of God's law. We're going to come back to that in a minute. He could choose to be your prosecutor, but he chooses to be your mercy seat. He could choose to be your accuser, but he chose to be your atoning sacrificial ransom, shedding his blood for you. He chose to be your Messiah, who is God's anointed human vessel and the very manifestation of God in flesh. He chooses to be your Redeemer, your kinsman Redeemer, your Savior. He chooses to be your, not your prosecutor, your advocate, your defense attorney. He chooses to be, if you'll let him, your very God, who receives the sacrifice and views you through it in covenant kindness. I am complete in him. I am complete in Jesus. He is my ark. He's my box. He's the lid on my box. And he's all the contents in my box. He's everything I need inside and outside of the box. Whatever you need, it's in Jesus. It's all in Him. He is the Almighty. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the first and the last. The mighty God is in Christ. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. He's the Amen. He's the Ancient of Days. He's the Rose of Sharon. He's the Lily of the Valleys. He's the Bright and Morning Star. He's the Root and the Offspring of David. That means He's both David's Creator God and simultaneously His Son as a human man. He's the Bishop of your soul. He's the Apostle. He's the Chief Cornerstone. He's the only one who sits on the only divine throne in heaven. See Revelation 4, a throne which, by the way, in one place is called simultaneously the throne of God and the Lamb. He is the Son of God. He's the Son of Man. He's the Son of Abraham. He's the Son of David. He's the star come out of Jacob. He's the scepter that rises out of Israel. He's the good shepherd who lays down His life for the sheep. He's the anointed one. I know I already said that when I said Messiah, but I like translating it by meaning. He is the shoot that comes up from the stump of Jesse. Oh, hallelujah. He's the fruit-bearing branch from Jesse's roots. He's the one upon whom the Spirit of the Lord will rest. He's the one upon whom the Spirit of wisdom and understanding will rest. He's the Spirit of counsel and power. He's the one upon whom the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord will rest. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the King of Glory. He is the Lord Almighty. He is the Logos of God. He is the new Adam. He is the light of the world. He is the breath of life. He is the life of the world. If you don't know Him today, you need to get to know Him. Those who stole the ark thought they wanted the box, and they thought they wanted the lid. And they seemed to have wanted the bowl of manna and the rod that budded. But they didn't want anything to do with the rules of the covenant, the tables of stone with the Ten Commandments. But it's a package deal. You either take the covenant or you don't. You don't get to cherry pick parts of it. Now, I told you that God is not in the business of trying to provide you a magic ticket, a magic talisman, a magic charm. There have been people who foolishly thought that that was what God was about. I want to remind you in the book of Acts about the seven sons of Sceva. They heard about a demon-possessed man, and they fancied themselves as some kind of authority. So they went in where the demon-possessed man was, and they said, "We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches." And the demon spoke through the man and said, "Oh, I know who Jesus is, and I know who Paul is, but who are you?" And the Bible says, now I want you to notice, they knew how to pronounce the name of Jesus. They were holding their mouth right. They said the name right. And there's power in the name. But somehow when they spoke the name, the power didn't show up. Why is that? Because they did not have a covenant relationship with the person behind the name. So they spoke the name and it was just meaningless, hocus pocus babble. And the Bible says that demon-possessed man rose up and he beat them and he stripped them naked and he threw them out in the street running for their life.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WKMZ-FM.